You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Atlanta Braves with MLB.com's Braves beat reporter, Mark Bowman. Mark, I actually made my way down to lovely Turner Field, braved the North Georgia traffic and got down there yesterday, and we talked a little about Hector Oliveira, and I think it's a really interesting question in a lot of ways, starting with the fact that the Braves gave up an awful lot to get this guy, and it is clear that they view him as a key piece of what they're trying to build. And yet, as you've noted, he hasn't gotten an awful lot of playing time. Now, some of that may be health-related, and there are a whole lot of things that go into that. They may just not want to push him too hard. But how does this all kind of add up? Can you kind of resolve this combination that, from the front office's perspective, this guy is clearly a core piece, and yet the manager doesn't seem to be in a hurry to get him out there every day and get him reps and see what he can do?
Yeah, I understand that the position of the manager is he wants to put the lineup out there that he feels is best suited to help him get a win that day. I'm baffled at the thought that they think that Adonis Garcia is a better option right now. I realize that Garcia has hit 8 home runs in his first 155 at bats or 160 at bats at the big league level. I realize he's exceeded expectations, but this is Hector Oliveira, a guy that your organization is in some ways mortgaged his future for, giving up a Jose Peraza and a controllable Alex Wood, a guy that you could have had in your rotation for at least the next 4 years. Yeah. You know, he missed one game with what they said was a bruised foot. He fouled a ball off his foot, and BP Oliveira did. You know, now, going back to the hamstring, he played for a whole month before he came up here. You know, if you want to play him 4 out of 5 every 5 days and get Garcia in there, that's fine. But, you know, he's been up here for 15 games now, and he has started 10 of them. And, you know, I don't get the sense that you know, the front office completely likes. I don't think they're in favor of you know, the limited amount of playing time that Oliveira has gotten. And I don't get it. I get. They say, hey, he's going to go play winter ball. He'll make up for lost time there. Well, why don't you go ahead and get a sense of what he is right here, right now? Allow him to face the top competition. He had a chance to face Mark Burley and David Price this week. You know. It doesn't, you know, Freddie said something about, hey, I don't want to get him buried. I don't want him, you know, losing confidence. I'm sorry, but if you've spent, you know, this much on a guy who would lose confidence after facing two guys who could help him in his development, get a better sense of where he is at the major league level, you know, I don't want that guy on my team. So, you know, it's baffling. I don't understand this approach. That Freddie has taken, you know, I'm guessing over the next couple of weeks we're going to see Oliveira in there a little more frequently, because I don't get the sense of just moving forward. You know, I do expect Oliveira to play, you know, a little more frequently here down the last couple of weeks of the season.
What do you get? What impression do you get from the front office about this situation? I know you talked to you're one of those guys who's definitely plugged in. Are they baffled? Do they understand? And the reason I ask, I'm not trying to sort of invent a riff, because clearly there's a level of comfort here. I mean, in the middle of a frustrating season, they just extended Freddy Gonzalez's contract. They clearly have a level of confidence. He clearly wants to be part of this. So it does not seem to be a dysfunctional situation. So I guess what I'm asking is, how does that kind of get resolved? That on the one hand, there's this indication that everybody's on the same page. On the other hand, again, this key asset is maybe not being used in the way you might think that they would have wanted to use him.
Well, you know, I do think that this is the one issue, you know, that it is arisen where, you know, they were all behind the whole, hey, let's be patient with him. There's no need to play him every day. But like I said, he's played 2 out of every 3 games here over the last 2 weeks. I think the front office was looking at this as more of a play 4 out of every 5 or 5 out of every 6, give him a day off here and there. And I realized that, you know, Freddie wants to get Garcia at bats. But let's not forget, you know, Adonis Garcia was basically, they got him for free at the end of spring training because the Yankees had no need for him. There was no need for them to try to trade him or anything like that. You know, they just released him. In fact, when the Yankees writers were here a couple of weeks ago in Atlanta, they were like, wow, you know, I didn't even, you know, some of them, they knew he was in the system, but they're saying this guy's playing every day, at this point in time. So he's never been considered a guy who should be giving him playing time over a guy who you have labeled a cornerstone of your future. So, like I said, I've got a feeling that the front office will, you know, talk to Freddie a little bit about this now that Oliveira has missed those first two starts against the Blue Jays this week, and we'll see him in there a little more frequently, I think, over these next couple of weeks.
I want to talk a little about Matt Wisler, who's had a really interesting year, and some good and some bad, but you know, saw some encouraging stuff the last time out. I think the biggest thing, he finally got some strikeouts, and it's a little, you know, it's not everything, but when a guy who is supposedly potentially a front of the rotation kind of guy is averaging less than a strikeout every other inning, that's not good. What did they see from him last time out? What's the sort of level of encouragement? What do they kind of want to see from him down the stretch?
You know, when he struggled there throughout August, some of the members of the coaching staff were thinking, hey, let's put him in the bullpen for maybe two or three appearances. It ended up being just one appearance just because they were running out of pitchers, kind of the effect of Mike Foltynewicz being out with the pneumonia and now being, you know, relegated basically to a relief role the rest of the season. But what they wanted to do was put Wisler in that bullpen because they thought that would allow him to work, not necessarily just work on some aspects of his delivery, refining that. It was more targeted towards his approach. They just did not think he was being aggressive enough. They thought he was going out there and nibbling. They wanted to get him more aggressive in the strike zone. They thought bringing him out of the pen would alter that mindset. And, you know, the one relief appearance he had in D.C., he was very effective with two scoreless innings. And his last time out there against the Mets, we saw a guy who looked a lot more like he had when he first came up. Well, he had a lot of confidence. You kind of saw that start to wane as August progressed, especially after he gave up a few home runs there at Wrigley Field. It was a windy day, but at the same time, it was obvious that his confidence was shaken. So what we're seeing now is a guy who they're hoping to see the rest of the way. He continues to attack the strike zone. Getting ahead of the count will help his slider, which early on, during the early portion of the season, after he came up, that was a very effective pitch for him. But as you mentioned, we have not seen too many swings and misses over the last 6 weeks.
One other thing I wanted to touch on before we let you go. Anderson Simmons 2 years ago, or goodness, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, I believe, hit for some real power, hit 17 home runs. He's at this point, it's clear, I don't think anybody thinks he's going to be a high average hitter, and that's all right. And he's still a pretty good player. He's a 3-win player, according to Baseball Reference WAR, just based on defense and what he does with the bat. But you know, he was a 7-win player when he hit 17 home runs. Is that power ever going to come back? What's the level of concern? I mean, it's just, I don't think anybody ever thought he was going to develop into a high average hitter, but that's all right. If you hit 250 with power and play great defense at shortstop, that's a heck of a ball player. If you hit 250 and don't do anything else to the plate with great defense at shortstop, that's a fine player. It's a useful player, but it's not necessarily a building block player.
Right. No. And I remember you and I had a conversation about it a couple of years ago about how special a player this guy could be. And even at the time, as he was moving towards those 17 homers, you're thinking, this is not who he is. But I certainly didn't expect it to go from, like you said, 17 homers down here below five. I expected him to be more of a guy who would hit nine to, you know, or somewhere around 10 home runs a season. I do not think we'll see that guy who hit 17 homers there a couple years ago. I don't think we're going to consistently see that power. What we might see is a guy who becomes a little bit more productive at the plate now that the walk rate is at least moving in the right direction. Kevin Seitzer, I talked to him a few weeks ago. He was really happy with the approach that Simmons was taking. Maybe we'll see that higher on-base percentage. I just don't think we're going to see those power numbers again, and that's fine. You know, if you can get this guy to continue to play Gold Glove caliber defense and give you let's say 270 with closer to a 330 on base percentage with 10 homers, you know, he's certainly still an above average player and a true asset. So I don't think we're going to see him go ahead and approach 20 homers again. But if he improves the discipline at the plate and the walk rate continues to move in the right direction, then, you know, then they'll at least have a player who is more productive at the plate than he was last year, where he certainly took regressed, not only from a power standpoint, but also you know, the lack of discipline at the plate continued to hurt his ability to get on base consistently.
All right, well, Mark Bowman, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.